Good afternoon. The Senate Labor Committee is called to order. It is Tuesday, January 25th, and we are a little behind our time at 12:40, but we're ready to begin. We have a quorum present, and today on our agenda, we are hearing Senate File 1346, which Senator Bolden is here to present to our committee. Welcome, Senator Bolden. And Senator Bolden, if you want to go ahead and proceed with your opening remarks, and then we will decide. I'll defer to you as to whether or not you want to hear amendments or just hear testimony first.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, committee members. I am appreciative of the opportunity to be before you today to present Senate File 1346, a bill aimed at strengthening workplace safety regulations for individuals engaged in aquatic plant management using scuba diving equipment. This bill is in response to a devastating reality, one that has cost the lives of two young men in recent years. You'll soon hear from the parents of Brady Ani and Joe Anderson, who tragically both lost their lives doing this work. Their deaths were preventable, and we have an opportunity and a responsibility to ensure that no other family endures this kind of loss. Currently, the regulations governing commercial diving in Minnesota are inadequate when it comes to protecting workers engaged in this hazardous job. Unlike other high-risk professions, commercial diving operations involved in lakeweed removal lack clear safety standards, proper training requirements, and oversight to ensure that employers are following best practices. Senate File 1346 would create new worker safety requirements for aquatic plant management with a focus on the work when scuba gear is in use. This bill would create a new section of state OSHA law requiring companies to ensure that any individual using scuba gear to do this work holds at least an open water scuba diving certification from a nationally recognized training provider. This bill would also add worker safety requirements to the DNR's permitting process for aquatic plant management, with information provided to them by the DNR and requirements for a safety consultation. So, Madam Chair, I do have a couple of amendments and can take those before testimony if you would like to get it in the shape in which I would like it. And I also think it would be perhaps useful, Madam Chair, if Senate would just walk through the provisions of the bill. Senate Council to walk through the provisions of the bill.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Bolden. Would you like us to, I believe there's an A2 author's amendment. Is that the amendment that gets the bill in the form that you would like to?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have the A2 amendment, and then I have an A3 amendment. If okay with you, I would like to do those amendments first, and then take testimony, and then if there are other amendments, do those after testimony, if that would be okay.
Very good. And Senator Bolden, would you like us to adopt those author's amendments and then do a walkthrough of the bill as amended with the A2 and the A3?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would appreciate that.
Okay, very good. Senator Bolden, would you like to describe the A2 and we'll address that first?
Yes, Madam Chair. The A2 amendment just gets the bill into the shape in which I would like it heard. There's a couple pieces, and this is based largely on technical assistance that we received from DLI and the DNR and diving experts in the field. There's language at the top to be sure that it cleans up the process. There's some verbiage changes permit to allow. The effectiveness dates are changed a bit to allow some time for implementation. And then there's a piece that specifies the language. Device is changed to an illuminated dive beacon, just to be more specific. Also, there's language to say that if people have a diving certification higher than open water certification, we don't want to exclude those people. We want people to have an open water, or if they have a higher level of certification, that is acceptable as well.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Pappas.
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A2 author's amendment.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Pappas. We have one more author's amendment as well. Senator Liskey has also graciously volunteered to make that motion. But on the motion, members, to adopt the author's A2 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. Right, the A2 amendment is adopted. And now to the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This language, as I mentioned, the impetus for this bill is because tragically two young men lost their lives doing this work. And so this amendment is to honor them, calling it the Brady Ani and Joseph Anderson Safety Act.
Thank you, Senator Walden. Senator Liskey.
Madam Chair, I would like to move the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Liskey. On Senator Liskey's motion to adopt the A3 author's amendment, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. The A3 author's amendment is also adopted. And any further comments, Senator Bolden, before we do a quick walkthrough? And I'll turn it over now to our Senate counsel to do our walkthrough. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I will do a quick walkthrough, and I will be incorporating the language from the A2 amendment into my walkthrough. As Senator Bolden mentioned, this bill does a couple of things regarding safety requirements for commercial diving operations that use scuba equipment in the workplace. First, in sections 1 and 2, these are regarding the aquatic plant management permits that are issued by the Department of Natural Resources. So section 1 would only apply to commercial mechanical control permits, so not permits that aren't those commercial mechanical control permits. So as part of the application process for that type of permit, the applicant will need to inform whether or not they're going to be using any scuba diving equipment during any activity authorized by the permit. And if so, the commissioner of the DNR needs to provide this information sheet that the Department of Labor and Industry will create. And then they also need to supply with the application, verifying that they had a third party on-site hazard survey completed within the last year by a qualified safety professional. And qualified safety professionals include a representative from the Department of Labor and Industry, workers' compensation insurance underwriter, or an outside private consultant. Then in section 2, this would prohibit the commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources from issuing or renewing a permit for the aquatic plant management if they've received one or more willful violations of an OSHA standard for scuba diving in the past previous two years, or have contested one or more willful violations. Then also you'll see on lines 230 to over to page 3 that the commissioner is prohibited from issuing or renewing a permit to a successor person. So that means that if you had a different person that had violated the scuba OSHA standards, you know, come in to apply for another permit, that the successor person would also not be able to get it. So you can't hide behind us, you know, having another person be the applicant. And then it goes on to list what successor person would mean, you know, if it's the same owners, same work, have the same telephone numbers, address. So that's what the commissioner would look at in determining whether or not it was a successor person. Also, on sections 1 and 2, I forgot to mention that there were, as Senator Bolden mentioned, a couple of effective dates that they would apply on or after that effective date for permits or for violations on or after the effective date of October 1st, 2025. Then section 3, this is the new OSHA law that would be in place for commercial diving operations that use scuba apparatus at the place of employment. So that would be the application who this would new law would apply to. Then in it is requiring the, let's see, in the A2, that you have to have the a valid open water scuba diver certificate or a more advanced certificate that Senator Bolden mentioned. Then also, as far as equipment requirements, an employer needs to require the use of a buoyancy control device and an illuminated dive beacon when an individual is doing the scuba diving as part of the work. That subdivision 4 on line 318 lists the penalties and then cites to the general penalty section in chapter 182, and then requires the Commissioner of Department of Labor and Industry in subdivision 5 at line 3.20 to develop an information sheet for employers and then to post that on the website for all these requirements, and also to provide the information sheet to the Department of Natural Resources to give to those applicants that are applying for a commercial mechanical control permit. And the effective date for the third section is May 1st of 2025. And that is the walkthrough of the bill.
Thank you very much. Senator Bolden, we'll go ahead and proceed to the testifiers next, if that's all right with you. We have Dina and William Ani, who have joined our committee today. If you would please join us up at the testifiers table next to Senator Bolden.
Setting up a picture of Brady so you can
take your time.
We're personalize this a little bit.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Take your time. Welcome to the Senate Labor Committee this afternoon. Thank you very much for being here to share with our committee today and help us understand the impetus for the bill that's before us today and the importance of it. If you'd please introduce yourselves formally for the record and then proceed with your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Dina Ani. I am Brady's mother.
Ms. Ani, could you just, I'm sorry to interrupt, could you just move forward and make sure, because sometimes the microphone, it's hard to make sure that we get it on the record, and the people who are online also can hear you adequately. So, okay. And if you need to, feel free to lean in. Thank
okay.
you.
Hello, thank you. My name is Dina Ani. I am Brady's mother.
And I'm William Ani, Brady's father.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair McEwen. I am the father of Brady Ani. As you know, two young men lost their lives working for companies doing weed removal. Both young men were using scuba diving equipment that they were not trained for. I know in Brady's case, Brady and our family were assuming that he would be properly trained before he ever put on scuba equipment in the water, which was a totally reasonable assumption. The reason why they did not have the proper training and were subjected to such an extreme level of risk is because the employers did not have to do this. Only when you mandate employers to comply with safety standards will the job become safe for employees. As history has shown, without agency regulations, employers will take advantage of employees. This was definitely the case with Dive Guys, the company whom Brady was employed with. He was paid $16 an hour for a job that his employers knew was dangerous. Although Dive Guys was fined by OSHA, this would do little to protect employees doing the same work. I am a firefighter with the city of Minneapolis. When we go into fires, we use very similar equipment to scuba diving. In fact, we call our equipment that we use to breathe SCBAs. We just leave out the U for underwater. Fire and water are both equally fatal if your equipment and training are not adequate. I think about how much training I had before I was able to go into a fire, and I think about how much training Brady and Joe had, and it was almost zero. I am forced to think of how many near misses there must have been before there were two fatalities. The only thing more tragic to me than losing my son at age 20 would be if this were to happen to another family, and it did. It happened to the Andersons. My regret as a father is that we were not able to move quickly enough to try to make it safer for employees. We have most of the pieces in place now with this bill to make sure that this does not happen again, but none of this will happen without your support to move this forward. You, senators and representatives, now have the power to save lives. I am quite certain that if you vote yes on this bill, that there will most likely not be any more deaths. But if you decide to vote against it, I am certain that there will be most likely more tragedy. The industry did not become dangerous once there were two fatalities. It has been dangerous, and fatalities were inevitable with the lack of training mandatory in this field. The Brady-Ani Joseph Anderson Safety Act is the definition of common sense legislation. We are asking for no funding, and this is definitely not an overreach of government regulations into industry. Minnesota State OSHA immediately recognized the need for this legislation, and they want this to go through. Every scuba diver that I talk to is shocked by this, and they want this to go through. Every senator and representative that I have talked to wants this to go through. But we, as the families of two young men whose lives were stolen, demand that this go through. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Ms. Honey, did you have a separate statement that you'd like to share?
I do.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair McEwen and Senator Dornick. Thanks for taking the time to hear our testimony today. What I'm going to read you is a portion of the letter that I wrote to the Hennepin County District Attorney's Office regarding the criminal charges being considered in the death of our son. I want to ensure that in all this talk of regulations, you understand the cautionary tale of what conduct is happening at some of these small companies under the lack of current regulation. Dear District Attorney White, I know you are considering moving forward with Officer Nelson's recommendations of charging both the owner, Matt, and the supervisor, Dominic, of Dive Guys LLC with manslaughter due to the gross negligence found during the investigation into our son's death. We want you to know more about this tragedy from our experience as you decide how to proceed. Brady was alive and well at breakfast on June 3rd and dead by lunch. Ripped from this world through neglectfulness so big in scale that it stole him from his life at 20 years old and from his family who adored him. He had exciting plans that weekend. His car was packed after work that Friday with his helmet, skateboard, guitar, and nice clothes he would never wear. Matt's carelessness with all these boys to save a dollar cost Brady his life, shattered his family, and left his only brother and only child on day number 4 of employment. We pushed him to try this fun summer job, and we live every day understanding we trusted an untrustworthy company with our boy. Surely Dive Guys would have him work from shore until they got him certified to dive, instead of having him underwater on day number 1 with equipment he did not know how to use. Surely this company would have these boys' safety as a priority. We could trust them with our son. A few weeks after Brady died, we received a phone call from a man named Rod. He was a retired police officer, stating he had worked for Matt during his retirement as a second job and had quit due to how unsafe the work environment was. He had warned the owner he was going to kill one of these kids with his dangerous practices and lack of regard for safety. We now know Matt laughed at Rod and told him the bravado of the job would bring him plenty of young men without the cost and time of certifying them. Rod got emotional as he told us that he knows exactly what the situation was with Brady from watching it over and over. How many times he told Matt that he needed to fix his antiquated equipment, that those boys should have a BCD vest on to save their life if they got in trouble. They should have fins on. They should have a backup breather. They should be trained and scuba certified. He complained that they do not always have a safety supervisor watching those boys in case they get in trouble and could not come back up, like our Brady. So they were not pinned down to the bottom of the lake to die alone, drowning alone. From the sheriff's report and the DA's follow-up presentation to us, we found out the additional information. The investigators at the recovery scene immediately noticed something was wrong with Brady's weight belt. It turns out it was on backwards, so he could not release it when it was critical to drop it. Also, it was too heavy for his body frame. During their investigation, they were lied to multiple times by the owner. But through their interviews with employees, they filled in the gaps from that day. The safety supervisor, a kid himself, had gone to the wrong house first that day and was in a hurry to finish up the job before the weekend. He put Brady, who was the only new employee, in the deepest water. Brady's dive partner asked the supervisor to wait to start the job because he needed to go up real quick and switch out his air tank. The report let us know that he came back down to the property and could not see Brady. He yelled to Dom, "Where the hell is Brady?" Instead of watching his employees, Dom had jumped into the water to work gathering weeds to make up time. He never watched over Brady that afternoon. Instead, he stood there with an armful of weeds and was quoted as responding, "What do you mean?" He had lost her son. Then the investigators told us they need to share the most egregious part of their findings. The supervisor never even dipped a toe into the water to look for Brady after the coworker discovered he was missing. In the end, Brady was lost for over 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Of course, no one there that day knew CPR, so even if they had found him in time, they would not have known how to perform this life-saving measure. We, his family and friends, are broken and forever incomplete. He was a wonderful son, brother, and friend. Our lives have become a prison sentence we must get through. When he stole our youngest son, with it he took his older brother Logan's wingman in life, his best man when he marries, and his children's only uncle. He stole our sweet boy and future events like watching him breathless as his bride walks down the aisle someday. The mother-son dance that will never be. And the grandkids of his that we would have loved to have spoiled because they're as charming as him. We will miss the hugs and smiles he gave so freely. His laughter will never be heard again. Brady wanted to be a firefighter like his dad and had worked so hard to earn his ranking, which he would have placed in the cadet class at the end of that summer he died. His 21st birthday came and went without him, and he will never know what it feels like to be an official adult. His friends come to visit the grave often. They read to him, they picnic there, they leave notes and flowers, but cannot reconcile what we, his family, cannot, that this loss of a beloved person was so preventable. Brady paid the ultimate price for the negligent workplace he worked at that week. However, we need to do this one last thing for him and help protect future boys to not become the next Brady. Perhaps some of you saw the news stories about our boys' deaths at work and that we went out to lay flowers in the water where our son had drowned 2 years after losing him. You may have watched the diver in that footage, out again in deep water with no one watching over him. What you did not see or hear was that we did, was the young man eventually walking over to this kid who had been diving for perhaps 30 minutes alone. He asked this diver when he surfaced how it was going. The diver was literally right where Brady died. And he told this man, "I'm really tired, and I can't see my hand in front of me." He was told to keep going, and the supervisor walked away, again leaving him alone underwater. clearly exhausted and needing a rest. This job had been Brady's fourth job that day at Dive Guys. Since this was happening at the same time, I can assume it was the same scenario. While OSHA is investigating the second case opened up, there's only so much they can do with the bad actors that are sometimes in this business. We need to get them this legislation that they need to prevent and penalize these businesses for operating so carelessly that leads to these deaths and tragedies. We pray our beautiful sons will be the last lives taken. Please help us to make this industry safe. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony today.
Thank you.
Members, next we have some testifiers who are joining us virtually. David and Lori Anderson. Can you hear us okay there?
Absolutely. Can you hear us, members of the committee?
Yes, we can. Thank you. Just make sure to speak clearly and speak up as you give your testimony. Welcome today to the Minnesota Senate Labor Committee. We're glad that you've joined us today. If you would... each of you, please introduce yourselves for the record, formally, and then proceed with your testimony.
Absolutely. My name is David Anderson. We both live in Plymouth, and I am the father of Joseph Anderson.
And I'm Lori Anderson, the mother of Joseph.
Can you hear us pretty well, the senators?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And if we could, I know you have a time limit. We will try to be very respectful of that, but if you wouldn't mind if we went over just a little bit because of the kind of the critical nature of this information, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Thank you. Yes, we are allowing some leeway today
thank you.
Due to the thank nature you. Of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Senators. Thank you, members of the committee. Senator Bolden, just thank you. She was the one who first heard our plea and agreed to help take on this legislation. And I just so appreciate, Senator Bolden, all you have done and continue to do for us. As we said, our names are David and Lori Anderson. We are the parents of Joseph Anderson. Joseph was the second death in this industry, and it occurred less than just 2 years after the death of Brady. We've gotten to know the Ounies. They are wonderful people. And their story that you've heard today is an absolute testament to just a tragedy that continues to happen and really is the purpose behind why we need this legislation. If I could, let me just give you a little background on what happened to Joseph. It is eerily similar to what occurred to Brady. I also have provided to the committee background documents on both Joe and Brady so that you can know a little bit more. But just briefly, Joe's death occurred on May 21st of 2024, less than 2 years after Brady died, on a morning that is classic in Minnesota in the spring. It was a stormy day. The sky was dark, so dark that the streetlights came on, right? So you couldn't see. This was Joe's third day on the job for a company called Your Lake Aquatic Plant Management. Your Lake was owned by a gentleman who went to Bethel University. And Joe was at Bethel that spring taking pre-college and college courses at Bethel while he was a senior in high school and was recruited by this gentleman along with a couple of other boys at Bethel with the promise that they would be doing a job that was in the lake, out in the sun, working with friends, kind of just a really good time to be outside and enjoy Minnesota lakes. It was also an opportunity to make some money for him to pay for college, where he was planning to go to Grand Canyon University this last fall. He went to the lake, and it was a lake called Lac La Vang down in Apple Valley, Minnesota. He got there at about 8:30 that morning, again, extremely dark outside, so dark that it was difficult to see, especially in the water. And for those of you in the committee that may not have been down there, Lac La Vang Lake is an old mining quarry lake. And it's very deep in the center, but it also, because it doesn't have springs in it, There's a huge amount of weeds in the lake. It's what they call a dirty, dirty lake, apparently. Joe is on the dock. He was told to put on scuba equipment. This was the first time he'd ever put on scuba equipment. Joe is a good swimmer. He's been around in the water a long time. We have the fortunate benefit of being able to have a boat out on Lake Minnetonka, and we've spent many summers together with our family enjoying the lake. So water wasn't a concern for him. What was a concern for him was what he was going to be doing. The tragedy here, just like the Aunties, Joe had 15 minutes of training that day in how to use scuba equipment literally on the dock. And I'll talk a little bit further about what is needed that we've heard somewhat, but some specifics here in just a second. But with that lack of training, he was put in the water by himself to go out and pull up these weeds. And as many of you know who live in Minnesota, right, Minnesota lakes, especially where there's a lot of weeds, has a lot of sediment down in the bottom of the lake. And when you pull up the weed, it literally causes the water to become black, so black that you can't see the hand in front of your face. The, quote, supervisor that was on the site that day, a gentleman, a young man similar to Joe's age, 19 years old, said he lost Joe after a few moments and they couldn't find him. He dove into the water, and where Joe was told he was working in 6 to 10 feet of water, they ultimately found him in 20 feet of water. His respirator was off. We don't know how his respirator came off, likely trapped in the weeds and pulled off of his face. They brought him up to the dock, and of course the supervisor was not CPR or first aid trained and tried to revive him. He did not have a pulse, nor was he breathing. Luckily, the Apple Valley Police Department and Fire Department was about 5 minutes away, and they dispatched a crew. Somebody had enough common sense to call 911. When the paramedics got there, he again had no heartbeat and was not breathing. He was given a series of shots of epinephrine and was able to regain a pulse and not breathe on his own, but at least have a pulse where they could transfer him to Fairview Ridges in the emergency room. My wife and I got the call about 9:30 that day and rushed to the hospital to be with him. He fought bravely for 3 days. He was ultimately transferred to the University of Minnesota, where the amazing doctors there did everything in their power to save his life, but they couldn't. We had the opportunity to be with him for those 3 days and could pray and be with him. But he passed the evening of Friday, May 24th. And just like the Aunties, there are just numerous things that we will miss and never get to have with him. As the investigation occurred and continued through OSHA, they found 5 willful violations of OSHA statutes and laws. They fined your lake $730,000 for those fines. It was the largest workplace violation fine in state history. It's absolutely awful, ladies and gentlemen, to live with this. As we struggled with our grief over the months to come, just like the Aunties, we would talk to people and they couldn't believe what happened. It didn't make any sense to them. They didn't understand it. Friends of ours that were scuba diver type people said this is absolutely crazy. And we had a chance in December to meet with Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner Nicole Blissenbach, a lovely woman, tremendous staff. And we had a conversation with the Aunties about what happened with our 2 sons and what her recommendations would be for maybe how to improve legislation or OSHA laws to make something positive happen out of a terrible circumstance. To just like what you heard the Aunties, how do we prevent this kind of tragedy from occurring again? And in speaking with Commissioner Blissenbach, she told us of 2 critical things that weren't in OSHA laws today that are in the amendment and the bill SF-1346 that you have in front of you. And the 2 critical ones are this. First, the need for scuba certification for every employee that goes in the water to remove scuba lake weeds. I don't know about you, Lori and I are not scuba divers, but we have friends that are. And if you can believe it, if you wanted to go scuba diving these days, on a vacation, let's say, in the Caribbean or in Mexico, you'd have to first go through 7 to 8 hours of online training, pass those tests, then you'd go into a nice, warm, clear pool with a dive instructor and spend 4 to 5 hours understanding how to use that scuba equipment and what to do if something went wrong. Then and only then, if you pass that test, are you allowed to go in a lake. You go down with another fellow buddy diver, as well as the dive instructor, and you spend another 4 to 6 hours in dives in the lakes. Only then are you scuba certified. Think about how long that is and what is required, just like what Bill Owney had to say. Going into a lake is very similar to going into a burning building. It is hazardous to life and health. Brady didn't have any training. Joe had less than 15 minutes. There was no way those boys could survive. So the first thing that this legislation does that we just have got to have is they've got to be scuba certified. It's not hard to do, it takes time, but it's reasonable. The second thing is this BCD. And as I'm learning about scuba equipment, I keep thinking about when we go on planes and you see the flight attendants put on the yellow safety vest that talks about what happens if a plane ever goes into the water. And if you remember that, remember how they demonstrate what it does, and if you want to inflate it, you pull on the red tab and the vest inflates and brings you to the surface. It's the exact same thing with a BCD. I provided in the materials a photograph from Amazon. The BCD at Amazon costs less than $299, and it has that red safety tab on it. If Joe and Brady had those devices on, they would both be here today because it would literally inflate them and push them up to the surface. So please, that is just critical that we have that there. I think then, really to you now, it's a call to action. Senator Bolden has gotten the bill in the right form. It's sitting with you there in the committee. As I see it, this is not a Democrat or a Republican issue. It's a human issue. I think many of you entered politics to help do the right thing and right wrongs. This is a wrong that needs to be righted. And we need your support urgently, please, to pass this. Because the biggest thing that's scaring the heck out of me right now is, even though it's cold, spring will come soon. Both Brady's company and Joe's company employers are still in business today. If you go to their websites for Dive Guys or Your Lake APM, they're already advertising that they're going to be open for spring business. We've got to get this legislation into place to prevent another series of deaths. It's not if, it's only when, if we don't get this legislation passed. So I urge you, please, to act with speed. What a great thing it would be if we could get this done before May, even, on a bipartisan nature, get both houses of the legislature approved, and move this into law and get signed. Please, please help do this. Honey, is there anything to add?
Yes, thank you so much for all of the help you guys are giving us. These guys said most of what I would want to say. I just want to add a couple of things. And that was that Joe believed that he would be in 6 to 8 feet of water tops. He was within 10 feet of a drop-off that was 25 feet deep. I'm sure he had no idea that he was that close to a drop-off. He should have never been put in water that was that deep, that close to that drop-off, because it was more like 10 to 12 feet deep that he went in. He is very safety conscious. He was very careful. He was responsible. He was a good kid, really, really good kid. And I guess my main thing is that I do not want to see it happen to somebody else. I don't want to see it happen to another young person. I don't want to see it happen to another family. And as David mentioned, Joe hadn't even graduated from high school yet. He said he was working with other high schoolers and college kids. These are young men. Joe trusted the company. We trusted the company. And we shouldn't have, obviously. And we do ask, I mean, obviously this is nothing that's going to bring Joe back, but I do feel a responsibility as a mom to make sure this doesn't happen to another boy. And he was a boy, you know, they're called young men, and yes, he was 18, but he was my boy. He was our youngest of five kids. And he was very trusting in this situation, and I just thank you for your help getting this passed. We do feel an urgency because I do believe it will keep happening until something changes.
100%.
Thank you so much.
Thank you both very much for your testimony today.
Thank you.
Next on our list of testifiers, we have Ryan Mueller. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Senate Labor Committee.
Thank you.
If you would please, and actually, I'm wondering, Senator Bolden, is it possible that we could move the picture of Brady over closer to you, or just to make sure that we're able to see the testifier?
I can move over if it would make it easier.
Okay. That's okay. You could stay put. Thank you very much. We can just move it over to the other side. Thank you. That's great. If you would please introduce yourself formally for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Yeah, my name is Ryan Mueller. I am First Brady's uncle. I am also a firefighter for the city of St. Paul, and I'm also a certified hyperbaric technologist at HCMC, where we actually handle dive injuries. When people actually do survive a dive injury, we actually are the ones that help them recover from that. So I'd like to say thank you to the entire committee here for listening to us. This has been a long time coming, and the pain that's been endured by our family in particular, and now seeing the Andersons, it has been intense. We want to thank you for considering not only the emotional aspects, but also the very practical aspects of actually establishing some regulation here. And that's what I would like to touch on, if I'm allowed to proceed. As my brother-in-law, Bill, mentioned, there are a lot of parallels when it comes to firefighting and when it comes to scuba diving, because we're in an environment that we call an IDLH, so it's immediately dangerous to life and health. In other words, if our gear stops working, we stop living. And I want to think about that for a second, because 15 minutes of training, when you depend on something to save your life, is absolutely not okay. Three points that I want to make regarding this. One is just that Brady had no formal training by a scuba certified dive master, much less somebody that had any understanding themselves on what expectations are laid out for a PADI diver. He was not also given the opportunity to demonstrate that he was able to handle his equipment, even in just the most basic circumstances. As a hyperbaric technologist, there's more to consider than just drowning. As we had talked about 20 feet of water, if you go to 30 feet of water, there's potential for some dive injury there, decompression sickness, arterial gas embolism. So even in the case that some of these boys might survive, they could still endure injury that can be life-altering. Even paralyze them, they can become quadriplegics. So it's not just a matter of life and death in of itself. There's also injury to consider. I very much doubt that Brady had any understanding of dive charts or Navy research done on diving. And so that's really important to highlight, is that we're, even if death doesn't occur, there's other things that can happen too that can still injure these boys. The second point I want to make is Brady died his first week on the job. As a firefighter, I was forced to prove day in and day out that I was able to handle panicking circumstances with my SCBA before I was ever allowed to go into an IDLH. The Friday that I heard that Brady died, while Brady was dying, I was actually in a mask maze. They had taken my mask and they wrapped it in such a fashion that we were forced to basically undo the spaghetti that had been created with our SCBA in the absolute dark and with no assistance whatsoever. We were told that we had to completely figure out how to take our SCBA with our eyes closed, they actually covered our eyes, put it together, and then put it to our face and begin and turn on the air and begin breathing. If not, figuratively, we were dead. If it were a real environment, we would have been dead. This is the type of training that firefighters go through. What makes that any different from a scuba diver? Why didn't my nephew Brady get the same training and the same opportunity afforded to him to learn how to operate under panicking conditions? See, the thing about panic is it's muscle memory that's going to save you when you start panicking. You cannot think when you're panicking. Your heart rate raises. When your heart rate raises above 150, you lose your ability, your motor ability with your hands. Big movements is all you can do to save yourself. And you can go into a lot of detail with regard to all this. Point being, Brady wasn't even given the opportunity to show that he had the most basic skills to save himself. Third point I want to make is a principle that we have in firefighting called two in, two out. This principle is actually expected and is a standard that if we do not perform this principle, it's something that can be actually, charges can be levied against our department for not performing this. What two in, two out means is that we always have a partner as we go into an IDLH. They can rescue us, we can rescue them, but we always have a buddy. There's also two out, which means there's also two people willing to come in and help us if we need help or to relieve us when we need and recognize it's time for us to come out of an IDLH. It's a formal process. It's laid out. It's very specific for firefighters, and we practice it. Once again, just touching on the practical aspect of this bill, a standard needs to be set for these companies. Brady trusted them. We trusted them. My sister and Bill trusted this company. We always assume if you're an established company, you have established, it's an established organization with rules. It's an established organization that knows how to train, especially going to ask my nephew to go into water and pull weeds in murky water we can't even see. You would assume, right? Well, that trust was violated. And it's not to assume that if this bill isn't passed that you somehow want to kill boys, but you have an opportunity here. It's a large opportunity that the citizens here in Minnesota have given you to actually do something to assist the future, to make sure that the future doesn't repeat in the same pattern. And we have every trust in your desire and intent. And once again, we just want to thank you for giving Brady this opportunity to have his death mean something even more. This is an opportunity for you to honor Joe and honor Brady. And having seen what this does to my family, even from being the uncle, I'm not the parent, this tore our family apart. And the pieces are still being put back together. I don't want to see this happen to anybody else. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Dan Gruber. Welcome to the Senate Labor Committee.
Thank you.
If you would please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Dan Gruber, fellow firefighter of Bill Ani and scuba instructor in multiple agencies. So I'm just here today kind of to push the importance of the actual certification of scuba diving. When you first get, it's already been touched on that there's a lot of classroom portion of it before you go to the pool. Once you go to the pool, then as long as you've met all the standards on everything, then you can proceed to the lake or ocean portion of the certification, where you'll do 4 individual dives with dive instructors who are limited on the amount of students that they can have with them at these times. They're also trained as rescue divers, CPR, everything that they need to do in case of an emergency. The scuba class in general goes over a lot of the stuff that possibly could help individuals. Any aspect of malfunction that may happen with your equipment, maybe your mask gets knocked off, this teaches you how to replace your mask and clear it safely. If your regulator was to get caught in a weed and get pulled out of your mouth, it teaches you how to put the regulator back in your mouth, clear it, so you can successfully come to the surface. It also touches on points of the DCS sickness, where you go at different levels. There's different atmospheres that you are the farther you go down in the water. Coming up too soon could actually hurt you over lung expansions, just different stuff like that. So besides the medical part of it, it teaches you if you need to drop your weights in an emergency. It teaches you to dive with a buddy who also has the backup stuff to help you breathe if there was an emergency. Understanding all the gear, how the BCD works, how your regulators work, and just everything you need to know to dive safely. It's obviously a risky sport, but it can be very safe if you have the proper training.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, Senator Bolden will go ahead and move to discussion, and I know that we have some amendments also that are going to be considered. Did you have any final thoughts that you wanted to share with us before we do that?
Not at this time, Madam Chair. I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you very much, Senator. Okay, members. Yes, Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I spent most of my afternoon actually yesterday talking to a friend of mine who is a master diver and talking to one of his friends who's also an instructor of instructors. So not only are they instructing people how to dive, they're instructing instructors how to teach people how to dive. And after a lot of discussion about this bill, I wanted to know more, right? I'm naive to the whole situation. I don't understand scuba diving, just like the individuals, unfortunately, that passed away. I don't understand it very well, so I wanted to ask somebody I knew that understood it a lot better. The two of them separately read through the bill and gave me their opinions, their professional opinions, and so I asked, will this solve the problem? And their concern was that it doesn't go far enough, and so they asked for some amendments, and that's why I'm here today, is to bring some more attention to the issues. So with that, I'm going to move the A4 amendment first, and let's talk about that one.
Okay. Senator Liske moves the A4 amendment. Senator Liske, would you like to just describe the amendment before we vote on it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, this amendment, whilst I know we have some things included in the bill as it is for required equipment, after listening to the firefighters, I think it just hardens my position on this. Not only will you be requiring a buoyancy control device and an illuminated beacon, but it also goes further. It takes it down a list of fins, mask, snorkel, a compressed gas cylinder with a valve, a primary regulator and alternate air source, a breathing gas monitor, breathing gas monitoring device, a depth monitor, a quick release weight system so that the weights can actually be taken off quickly. Adequate exposure protection appropriate for local dive conditions, at least one audible emergency surface signaling device, and then on top of that, a dive computer so that they can understand where they're diving, the area underneath the water, and what it looks like. So with that, I look forward to more discussion. But that's the importance of this.
Thank you, Senator Liske. Senator Bolden, would you like to speak to the A4 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Liske, for the amendment and the brief discussion we had earlier today about this. I appreciate the desire to want to get this right. This is important. I, too, am not a scuba diving expert, and so I, through this process, have had conversations with many who are as well, and certainly am leaning on the expertise of others. I appreciate the intention of this and am supportive of incorporating it at this time, knowing that I would certainly want to have more conversations with experts about this language as well to be sure that this is the right list, these are the right items, to be sure that we're clear and specific and precise. One thing in conversations with some of the experts that I have heard is that more equipment isn't always better, that there, if, as you add things, there that can create risks of just more things to sort of get snagged. However, we want to be sure we get this right, and so provided the understanding that, you know, I'll want to still have more conversations and be sure that, you know, the list of items is exactly as it should be, I think I'm certainly willing to, you know, take this and continue to have those discussions.
Thank you, Senator Bolden. And perhaps this is a question that I have for both of you, because what I'm hearing is this is sort of viewed as a friendly amendment, but at the same time there is a desire to have some further discussion on the specific items and the wisdom of each particular item to make sure it's right. Senator Liske, do you have an opinion about whether you want to formally adopt this or just continue discussion?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason why I want to formally adopt it is it's actually part of the requirements for open water diving. So the training that we're requiring in the bill, this is the recommended equipment for that exact diving purpose. And so that's why I'm bringing it forward from those experts. I understand the not wanting to, but at the same time, I think we can adopt it. And if you don't like it, I'd be happy to let you take it, you know, have you take it off either way. But the reason why I want it on there is because I think in this case, the more equipment, none of this equipment would be the equipment list that I would worry about. Like you're talking about, there is a list of more equipment for more procedural dives than this. But open water diving, this is the standard, the standard across the entire industry. And so I think let's try and adopt this today. You may not be happy with it, but if you want to, let's adopt it. And if you don't like it, let's take it off. I'd rather have it there because we know, you know, like I said, unfortunately, the people that I talk to are very high up in the realm of diving in the state of Minnesota. I think there's no reason not to take it up today.
Senator Bolden, do you concur with that?
Madam Chair, yes. I am good with that, just with the understanding that there will be continued to be more conversation and work on it. I appreciate the intention, and I'm good with taking a vote on it to add it in today. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Senator Bolden. And I'll note also that this bill has a couple more stops, and there'll be more opportunities in case changes are needed later. Any further questions on the A4 amendment or any discussion, members? Okay. Senator Liske offers the A4 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. All right, the A4 amendment is adopted. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along the same lines, similar conversations, I'm trying to make this bill the best bill we can, and I'm trying to do it as fast as we can, too. I wasn't trying to blindside you, as we've talked about. You know, unfortunately, my conversation didn't happen until yesterday afternoon. So the two concerns, and I'm going to offer the A5 amendment, and then I'll talk to it.
Thank you, Senator. Liske offers the A5 amendment. Senator Liske, to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The things, so I just got my private pilot's license. It's very similar to scuba diving in like the tiering system of how diving works. A private pilot is very raw. The only thing that's lower than a private pilot is a student pilot. You're still learning how to fly. When you use the word commercial, it's really important to understand what the commercial means. And so the first part of this amendment is calling them what they are, is divers for hire. They're not professional divers. The open water divers are not professional divers. But they are going to work in an industry where they would be making money, meaning that they're for hire. They're just not commercial divers. They're not professional divers. That's a different tier, a different level of diving that's required for training. So I wanted to be very specific in the language we use in the bill so that we're not confusing the public as to what they're doing and what their jobs are. And what type of training they might require, because a commercial or a professional diver requires a lot more training than the open water diver does. The second half of this is, as we heard from all of the testimony today, is that the people on shore didn't have the CPR training that they need and the first aid training they need to rescue the person if there is something of an emergency that transpires. So the second half of this amendment requires that all individuals on the dive team are completed with CPR and first aid certification. So that's the purpose of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Liskey. Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Liskey. I would like to ask DLI to comment on this, as we have been working very closely and collaboratively through this process, and that language around commercial diving came from them. So I would love to hear their thoughts on that piece.
Very good. And I think we have the commissioner here. Welcome, Commissioner Blissenbach. You've been listening to the conversation, and if you would share with us your opinion about the language and the proposed changes that would be made in the A5 amendment. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Nicole Blissenbach, and I am the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. Thank you for having me here. And I just want to say I really appreciate the families of both Brady and Joe for all the work they've done to bring attention to this issue. Safety and health regulations do matter. They save lives, and they prevent people from getting hurt at work. So just want to say that first. So as to the A5 amendment, I do want to point out a couple things. There are OSHA regulations that are in effect for this industry. They were adopted at the federal level, and those regulations are called commercial diving regulations. So that is what applies. That was the basis for the action that Minnesota OSHA did in fact take in these situations or in these cases. So that is why we base the language on that, because we don't want to make it look like they're not subject to regulations that already exist, but they are also subject then to the Minnesota regulations that would be put into place through a bill like this. So that's the reason for the use of the words commercial diving. And then as far as the CPR and first aid certification training, there is a requirement in that Code of Federal Regulations that requires, and it's 29 CFR 1910.410A3, that does require all dive team members to be trained in CPR and first aid. So that is already a requirement for these types of companies.
Thank you, Commissioner. Senator Liskey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'd be agreeing that we can leave the commercial diving. So I mean, I'd be happy to divide the amendment. I still think that we need to put it in state statute, not just federal OSHA rules. I think putting it in state statute would be important, that a CPR and first aid certification are required. So I don't know if Commissioner Blissenbach wanted to respond to that, if we're good with not changing the title, but maybe still mandating the CPR and the first aid.
Commissioner?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Liskey. All of the federal, we're required as a state plan OSHA state to be at least as effective as federal OSHA. So any federal regulation that is passed, we adopt in Minnesota, and we adopt referring to how it is published in the Federal Register. So even if federal OSHA were to change that regulation, it would still be in effect here. So I guess I'm not speaking one way or another as to the amendment, but there isn't a risk, unless Minnesota were to take action in repealing that regulation, that isn't a risk that currently exists.
Thank you, Commissioner. And just for my own clarification of understanding, so what you're saying is, even if OSHA regulations were to be changed at the federal level, what I am hearing you saying is that under our law here in the state of Minnesota, our OSHA already has that federal rule in place, and that would not change even if the federal rules changed?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that is correct. The way we adopt federal regulation, we adopt to the wording that is placed in the Federal Register, which stays in existence. So we don't just cite to the regulation number, we actually adopt the wording. So even if federal OSHA were to repeal that particular regulation, we would have to take action to do so at a state level.
Thank you, Commissioner. And that taking action to adopt what is put into the Federal Register, is that an item that has to be adopted legislatively through legislation, or is that a rulemaking? How is that, how are those changes made? I just want to be very clear that because we are all watching a lot of change happening at the federal level right now, and I think Senator Liskey's concern about having something in state law is very important. So I just want to make sure changes at the federal level, would that happen through rulemaking in the agency, or would that have to be a legislative adoption?
Thank you, Chair McEwen. With this regulation, it would be done through rulemaking if it were to be changed or repealed. So if there is a comfort level with having it done in statute, I can understand that. And I do, you know, the reason I knew the answer to how we adopt federal regulations is because we have looked into what would happen if there were drastic changes to federal OSHA regulations, and wanting to make sure that we are continuing to be protective of the workers that are in our workplaces in Minnesota. So yes, that it. To change it, it would be currently done through rulemaking at the Minnesota level.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Senator Wiesenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dan Gruber, you said you're a diver, right, or your instructor?
Instructor trainer.
Would you be okay if we ask you some questions? Thank you. I feel like we have a professional in the room. Let's talk to him. So why not? Going back to, you know, what Senator Liskey talked to, sounds like gentlemen who have the same background as you, it sounds like they would like this. I mean, you are listening and you're hearing this. I would assume you would agree that these are good things for your industry.
Yes, and like he had mentioned that it is part of the open water certification. That's the minimum standard equipment that you would have to have to be in the class for open water.
Okay, so
thank you, Mr. Gruber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So it sounds like, I mean, that's why I wanted to bring you back up. This would be what we would require as a minimum. So we should all be amenable to, you know, pass these amendments then.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wiesenberg. Thank you, Mr. Gruber, for rejoining the committee to answer those questions. Senator Umar Verbaten.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's been helpful to have the conversation too about the CPR and first aid certification training that I think we all want to be in here, and that we've adopted the actual language, not just citations from federal requirements. I was also wondering, like, it's great that we have those, but how are we going to make sure that the employees know about that? And I'm assuming that's where that is sort of covered under subdivision 5, section 3, subdivision 5. Page 3, line 22 says, the information sheet must explain the requirements of this section and include any applicable federal requirements for employers. So I just wanted to clarify that, would that applicable federal requirements include them knowing you also need to have the CPR and first aid certifications? Maybe if council could weigh in on that, or if you know, Senator Bolden.
Thank you for that question, Senator. Senator Bolden, and if perhaps if the commissioner has any follow-up, please feel free to join us as well. But Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Umar Verbaten, for the question. That is part of the intention for the information sheet that is referenced on line 3.22, which is intended to go to the operators, to the companies who are doing this work, to be sure that they have the information that they need and are held accountable to the Minnesota standards and the federal OSHA standards. They are accountable to all of those, and yes, so it would include the CPR piece and others. I will just name some of the others. The federal OSHA standards include that each dive member shall have the experience or training necessary to perform assigned tasks in a safe and healthful manner. All dive team members shall be trained in CPR and first aid. That the employer shall develop and maintain safe practices manual available at the dive location. that extensive pre-dive, during dive, and post-dive procedures, including the standby diver, should be available where when a diver is in the water. Those are some of the federal standards that apply here in Minnesota as well.
Thank you, Senator. Any follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Bolden. Yeah, I think that's probably the most important piece here, how we want to handle the having the sort of comfort language in or not, I think we can come to on this bill. But it did just make me think about if there needs to be some further action on just generally looking at OSHA federal requirements that we know with this administration and this great commissioner would have a process through rulemaking. But if we want to just for our own comfort, take some action as a legislature to make sure we're keeping those federal requirements. So that's probably an ongoing conversation that we should have.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm reading Section 3, Subdivision 5, about the information for employers. You know, Senator Umu-Verbaeten brought up a great point of, do the employees know that? It doesn't actually stay in here that they have to supply that information to the employee. So I don't think in this case these young boys would have known that they needed CPR training. I don't think they knew that. And I think that's why I think maybe this, if you're okay, I'd maybe like to move so that we can get past the discussion about this. I would like to divide the amendment and just add the part with the CPR training. If Senate Council can help me get that properly divided. I don't want to draw the line somewhere that it's not supposed to be drawn. So,
thank you, Senator Liske. So what I'm hearing is a couple of things. One is that for the A5 amendment, you're proposing that we divide the amendment and then we would
we'd work on the CPR part first.
Do the CPR, and we'll leave that commercial diving language as is at this point. And then you also have an issue where you'd like to, are you suggesting perhaps like a oral amendment to make sure that employees are also notified in that language?
No, so the reason why I want to do that, we'll leave the CPR training in there because it will require the employees then to know, right? So referencing subdivision 5 there, it only requires the employers to know that, not the employees. But if we were to adopt my amendment, the divided part, employees would have to know because it would be a requirement in order to work in the field. Does that make sense? So we wouldn't need to have that on the information sheet because it's going to be a requirement for them to even be employed in that field. So I'm just expressing why I think this amendment, as divided, will be important to still add on.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to be clear that we all have the same understanding about the information sheet. That is would be developed by DLI and would be provided to the providers, the companies doing this work. I think you know, we could have a conversation about what should something be provided, what should be provided to employees, but that wasn't the intention of this information sheet. That is intended for the businesses doing this work. I just want to be clear that.
Yep.
Thank you, Senator Bolden. Why don't we go ahead and do the division of that of the A5 first, and I will ask our Senate Counsel if they would please clarify so we're all on the same page, and then we will consider that, and then we'll continue our discussion.
So, Madam Chair, members, the amendment to divide the amendment just for the CPR and first aid piece would be for Senator Liske to move lines 1.6. through 1.8 of the A5 amendment.
Thank you very much. Senator Liske, is that your motion?
That is my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? All right. Members, all in favor of Senator Liske's motion to adopt line 1.6 through 1.8 of the A5 amendment, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you very much. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will withdraw the rest of the A5 amendment.
All right. The rest, remaining part of the A5 is withdrawn. Thank you.
And then, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have one more amendment, the A6.
To your A6 amendment, Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I think this is a discussion in the OSHA language already, but this is something that I still think should become part of state statute, separate from the OSHA descriptions. Additional safety requirements for this employer would be an employer must require that an individual who has a valid rescue diver certificate received from a nationally recognized and accredited certification program must also be on site when an individual subject to this section is scuba diving. So the purpose of this amendment, again, with the conversations I had yesterday, I mean, it was very lengthy. I had, I think, about 2 or 3 hours worth of talks about this, just trying to understand and wrap my head around this. We wouldn't have heard the excuse of, I don't know where he is, because the individual would be rescue trained. They would know that this isn't okay, that there's been 30 minutes of an individual missing. The person on shore will now have to know what to do. These boys, whilst buddy diving would be effective, it would be helpful, the two-in, two-out discussion becomes valid here. It wouldn't be two in and two out. We'd have one on shore, but the one on shore would know what to do if both divers were in dire need for help. They would know how to watch. They would know how to understand what's going on. And so that's the purpose of this amendment. Again, I think it's already, like you said, in OSHA language, but I think if we don't put it into state statute, we haven't solved the problem. I think this will apply to all the rules that we're trying to, or all of the law that we're trying to change here. And that way we give it teeth. We give it a reason for following OSHA, not just fines and penalties. And so that's the purpose of this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Liske. So Senator Liske is offering the A6 amendment. Senator Bolden, would you like to speak to the A6?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Liske. Truly, I appreciate your input and desire to get this bill right. And I'm happy to have continued conversations with you about that. I have some questions about this, and so happy to do that now or happy to do that later. But I'm curious about this rescue diver certification, which I'm not very familiar with, admittedly. I'm wondering, is that certification much higher than the PADI certification? How many additional hours of training is that? I would like a little more information about that.
Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bolden, I'd rather have an expert come and explain it to us. So Dan, if you could come up. But I liken it to aviation because, again, like I said, that's where I've been spending a lot of time. Private pilots are very inexperienced. We are only required to have 50 hours of flight time in an airplane. The next step up for us is called instrument rated. And that's where we learn, we fly. We have to actually fly a lot more hours. And then we learn how to fly through the clouds, which is a scary situation. You can't see. You can't understand what's going on around you. All you have is your instruments. And from my understanding of the rescue diver situation is not only do you do that, but you also know how to handle if a person is trying to drown you while you're trying to save them. And so I'll have Dan talk to the levels of experience that it's required for the rescue certificate.
Thank you, Senator Liske, and thank you again for joining us, Mr. Gruber. And you've heard the discussion that we've been having. Has Mr. Gruber seen the language of the A6 amendment? I just want to make sure that you're able to see it. And I'll just go ahead and turn it over to you if you have any comments about the language in particular, the certifications that are being discussed. We value your opinion. Thank you.
So as far as rescue diver, you first need to become an open water diver. With that, you have your 4 dives plus all your initial training that you do. The next step would become advanced open water diver. Requires 5 extra dives, all with instructors, with 2 required dives, which would be navigation and deep diving. After that, there's 3 different specialty dives that you could try if you were wanting to be a night diver or something like that. You get to choose your other 3 dives you want. Once you've completed your advanced open water, then you move on to rescue diver, which, as he had mentioned, that it trains you to go to panic victims. So if they're trying to grab onto you to bring you down, because that's going to be the natural instinct, how to break free from them safely and not hurting them anymore, and then getting around either diving underneath them, because that's the last place they're going to want to go, or swimming around them and being able to make contact with the individual to safely get them back to shore. There's also the requirements to tire a tired diver toe. So if an individual is cramped up and can no longer swim, one of the standards is you have to make a 200-yard swim, I believe. I'd have to double-check the standard. But pull that individual 1 of 3 ways to get them back to safety. It goes into a lot more depth of how to do rescue breaths. CPR is also a requirement for a rescue diver. So those are just kind of the things that you have to do with a rescue diver. It can be moved on to oxygen provider too, which is a number one thing that most dive incidents use is oxygen. So administering oxygen. So rescue diver goes over the actual use of how to administer oxygen to an individual that has a diving incident.
Thank you very much for sharing with us. Senator Liske, do you have any specific follow-up at this point on this issue?
No, Madam Chair. I think he's laid it out pretty clearly as to why I'm pretty adamant we try and get this in there.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Liske. Any questions or discussion? Yes, Senator Umar Verbaten.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for bringing this forward, Senator Liske. I just want to make sure I'm understanding as well. So within Section 3, Subdivision 2 requires the valid open water scuba diver certificate. And then this additional subdivision would require that someone with a rescue diver certificate is there. So is the intention for just to have one person with the rescue diver certificate or for both of the folks to have that?
Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question, Senator Umar-Baden. This will require that at least one individual, not all of them will have to have it, but at least one individual on site will have to have the rescue diver certificate.
Okay. And I had a question also, and I'm not sure if this is appropriate for you, Senator Liske, or for Mr. Gruber, but I believe that Mr. Gruber had spoken to the number of hours of training that were needed for a valid rescue diver certificate, but I can't remember. Mr. Gruber, could you please clarify that for us? Thank you. We appreciate you coming back and forth here. So to the number of training, if you would,
The exact hours for each individual class, or is that what you're asking?
Thank you. My question is more in the realm of a total number of hours that would be required for training to achieve this valid rescue diver certificate.
So I would have to double check on adding in. So now a lot of scuba training is done e-learning. So online learning, so they do that before they come to us to do the practical. So those hours are in there. I don't recall right offhand exactly what it is, but I believe open water is 40 hours, if I remember correctly. But there's times, these times can change when it comes to the open water part, whether you have one student that's actually getting it right away, or say somebody might be struggling. The hours could change longer, but it's definitely a lot of hours. I know I can tell you the exact dive numbers that I know offhand right now, but as far as to quote the exact hours without looking at the standards right now, I don't have that information.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Senator Liske.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To try and help him answer the question, it's not a set number. It's actually based on dives and experience. So whilst like in the aviation industry where we have to have 50 hours or 190 hours or 250 hours, things like that, it's not the same because it's based on dives. And so they don't necessarily always time the dive.
Sure.
And so the requirements are specific dive types and techniques that they're in. So I think that hopefully helps answer your question.
Very good. It does. Thank you. And Senator Bolden, did you have any last comments on this, our consideration of the A6 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate this discussion, and I'm certainly open to this and supportive of the concept of it. I guess I would say, and I'm certainly supportive of adding this in with the understanding that, yeah, I still have questions. I want to be sure we understand the implications and, specific language may change as we go forward, but appreciate the concept as a whole.
Very good. Thank you. And Senator Liske, we'll go ahead and consider your motion.
Yep, that would be great. I think, as Senator Bolden said, I'm good with the language changing if we need to, but let's move forward for now.
Very good. Members, if there's no further discussion or questions, we'll move to the A6 amendment as proposed moved by Senator Liske. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. The A6 amendment is adopted as well. Members, yes, any comments or questions? Yes, Senator Pappas.
Chair. We have been spending a lot of time on this today, but I think it's really important. And I did want to have a greater understanding, and probably that's from the Department of Labor, about the fines, the OSHA fines, with one being $128,000 and the other one being $730,000. I'd just like to understand more the case of the violations and what were the violations. And then as a member of the Judiciary Committee, I did also want to understand, and maybe the commissioner might not have the answer to that, is why there weren't like gross, at least if not manslaughter charges, at least gross negligence.
Thank you, Senator Pappas, and thank you for rejoining us, Commissioner Blissenbach.
Chair McEwen, Senator Pappas, thank you for the question. It will allow me to highlight some great changes that happened in the last couple of years in the Minnesota OSHA space. One, we did adopt penalty conformity with federal OSHA, which allowed our penalty structure to reach a higher amount in the last couple of years. So that can explain one of the reasons there are differences in penalties now than what we've had a couple years ago. Another thing I will point out is in a change, I believe it was last year, may have been the year before, we were allowed for the first time to make public the citations that we've issued before they were final upon receipt, 20 days after the receipt of that citation to the employer, which did allow us to issue the press release we issued in the Your Lakes Aquatics matter. But what I will say is the information that we can share is contained in that press release, and I am hesitant to go any further because there are data practice considerations as to what I can and cannot talk about publicly.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any follow-up, Senator Pappas?
Madam Chair, maybe this is for the families. I did want to understand, I think someone mentioned something about a manslaughter charge, but were there any charges at all against the companies? Or maybe the commissioner can answer this. I don't want to overburden the families who so kindly come here.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair McEwen and Senator Pappas. I forgot about that aspect of your question. So OSHA does routinely make referrals to criminal law enforcement entities, and we are allowed to do that whenever we see a case that may rise above just, you know, an OSHA citation to the realm of potential negligence or homicide or manslaughter, sorry. So that is something we do, but we don't have the ability at DLI to do a criminal investigation or to recommend criminal charges. We can refer the cases. I'm not entirely sure where the potential charges are in either of these matters, so unfortunately, you may have to call the families back up for that specific.
Thank you, Commissioner. And David and Lori Anderson had raised their hand also, and we do have you on screen if you had any response or anything you would wish to share in response to Senator Pappas's inquiry.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Pappas. It's David Anderson again. There are charges currently being proposed in Dakota County. It is under review right now with the county attorney there as to whether or not criminal charges will be filed. But a recommendation for such charges has been made by the investigative authorities there. So that's in process.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, first thank the families for coming here and sharing their painful stories and for Senator Bolden for pushing this. One of the witnesses said about the companies are still in business and still advertising. I looked at their two websites. One of them talks about our team of scuba professionals are trained to safely remove. They're still advertising that they're trained for that, and the other company calls them experienced divers. And I think that the testimony is that that's anything but true, but I'm sorry for your thing, and I'm glad you're pushing to make this happen.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Senator Wiesenberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what is the path for this bill? Where is it? Does it go in somewhere next? Or?
Yes, Senator Wiesenberg, our plan today is to send it to the Environment Committee next. And we had some discussion before committee about the potential path. I believe after that we may need a stop in finance where a fiscal note has been requested to just make sure on that end if there are any fiscal components. Is there any other stops you're aware of, Senator Bolden? Okay. Senator Reisberg?
Thank you. That was my question. See how fast, let's get this moving and get it out of here and get it signed.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Reisberg. Members, any other discussion? Any other questions? Very good. Senator Liske.
Can I make the motion to send it to Environment?
Yes, you may. I just have one comment also before, but I will take up your motion in just one second, and we'll also go to Senator Bolden before we do that. I also wanted to thank you, Senator Bolden, for bringing this bill forward and for the families today and all of the people who have been impacted by this issue so profoundly and so deeply. And I want to thank you for coming to our committee and for being active in trying to prevent this kind of terrible thing from happening to other people going forward. It really, we're all, I think, very grateful for the service that you're providing to the people of our state by doing this. So thank you very much. I also just wanted to echo Senator Umer Verbaeten's concerns about the federal OSHA and sort of the questions that we have about the changes that are happening at the federal level and how that could impact our work here in Minnesota and our protections that we have for working people and for Minnesotans. And so I, as this bill moves forward, that is something that I'll be interested in seeing what the end product looks like and if it takes into consideration some of those issues. As Senator Umer Verbaeten said, we have a wonderful commissioner and staff at DLI right now who do an incredible job enforcing our laws and protecting the people of our state and the working people of our state. But those administrations change, things change, and I want to make sure that we do our part here to make sure that what we have in place, to the best of our ability, the laws on the books that are needed to protect people going forward. So I'll be watching that as well. But with that, Senator Bolden, I'll turn it over to you if there are no further questions or comments. Senator Bolden.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. I very much appreciate the opportunity to bring this bill before you and for the thoughtful and productive conversation. We really do have an opportunity to take an action that will save people's lives. I want to extend my deep thanks to the Ani and Anderson families who, while navigating their grief, are pushing this forward and working to be sure that no other families go through what they are still going through. I also want to extend thanks. This really has been a collaborative process. A lot of work has gone in to this bill over the last few months to get it to this place and to move it forward. So in working with DLI and the DNR and their staff and Senate staff and council, as well as my co-author in the other body, Rhett Baker, we are working very collaboratively together as well and bipartisan co-authors. This really is an opportunity to take some action and hopefully quickly so we can get ahead of the season that is coming. I don't want to have lives be at risk for another season of this work. And so I appreciate the work of this committee and being able to move this forward.
Thank you, Senator Bolden. Members, Senator Liske has moved that Senate File 1346 as amended be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Environment, Climate, and Legacy. On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed say nay. All right. Members, the motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone, for the discussion today, and thank you to all of the testifiers. With that, the Senate Labor Committee is adjourned.